Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And we're wrapping up another week, first full week of July. It is Friday, July 10th, 2020. Thanks so much for tuning in to the one, the only EWTN. We have a wonderful program lined up for you today, as we always try to do, to keep you connected to the things that matter most and to help you, as Al Cresta always says, look at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Okay, first of all, just wanted to let you know in terms of the weather, it's going to be very, very warm, not exactly a news flash because it's summer, but in some parts of the country this weekend, there's going to be a heat wave that's going to be moving through for the next several days. And also, if you're traveling maybe to the beaches on the East Coast, and I do hope that you're getting out there and enjoying the summer while staying safe, because we need to do that. It's a beautiful time of year, and we need to take advantage of the beautiful earth that God has given us and nature, especially in summertime. Tropical storm is moving into the East Coast, so there's going to be a lot of rain. So keep that in mind if you have any travel. So I just wanted to mention that. Coming up on the program today, it is Friday, and last Friday we didn't have a chance to speak with him live because obviously it was the holiday, the day off for the 4th of July holiday weekend. But the one, the only Doug Keck is back with us. He's the President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. So we'll give you the inside word on all the great programming and different projects that EWTN is working on right now. Doug will fill us in, and also we'll chat about things out there in the culture. We were just chatting before the news about the story about one of the CNN anchors saying that in an interview, he was going back and forth with Chris Cuomo, and it's not, I don't know if it's pronounced Lemon or Lamont. I've heard it pronounced both ways. Doug and I were just chatting about that as well. But they were talking about all these different statues that are being torn down, and for some reason, Don Lemon or Lamont was saying that, you know, people have to realize that since Jesus admittedly wasn't perfect, what? And he was doing some sort of a weird analogy between Jesus and the founding fathers. It just, well, first of all, it didn't make any sense. And secondly, to really just say such a heretical statement in the first place. And secondly, to just not have any idea about a basic tenet of the Christian faith, even if you're not, if you're a fallen away Catholic or a fallen away Protestant, whatever. Look, I was away from the church for many, many years, but I knew somewhat of the basics of the faith about Jesus being the unblemished lamb who was sacrificed for our sins. And what really struck me, and this, I think, brings us home to the meaning and the reason for the necessity of EWTN and all of the radio affiliates and what we do online with all of our news outlets, is the continual effort to evangelize. That's the first thing I thought of, and that's what I said on my Facebook page. I said, brothers and sisters, we need prayers, and we need to work on evangelization. Because to make such a statement like that, and to be confident in saying it, and think that you're actually correct, and then you're having this discussion with someone who is raised in the Catholic faith, as in Chris Cuomo, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't push back. So where does that leave us? I think what I always try to do, in addition to, besides pulling out my hair and screaming, Calgon, take me away, any of us are old enough to remember that commercial, is I try to say, okay, what do I need to do? First of all, in my own continued education and prayer, but also what can I do to make a difference in terms of evangelizing? So this really is another opportunity, I think, to help raise awareness about the truth of who Jesus is and always will be, and what our faith teaches about that. So I'm sure Doug will have some great comments on this. It's coming up at about 15 minutes past the hour. And then, so delighted, the amazing Greg and Julie Alexander are back with us. I love their ministry, big supporter of their work at the Alexander House. And we're going to talk about a number of things and congratulate them on their new grandbaby, by the way. But also, we're going to be talking about their beautiful mission to married couples and how things are faring as we're hopefully pulling out of the pandemic, even though there are spikes in different parts of the country. But what has this very tough time in our country and our world done for marriages, two marriages? Where do we stand? And how do we move forward with help from wonderful people like Greg and Julie? And we'll take your calls as well. So that is the show for today on a Friday. I do hope you can stay tuned for the entire hour. And don't forget always to go to our overall website at EWTN.com for any of the programs that you may have missed. We also archive all of Catholic Connection every single day. The shows end up about midday on AveMariaRadio.net. Just click on the archive section. It is almost 5 minutes past the hour. Thanks to Eric Dumont for sitting in for my producer, Andrew Kruczek, who has a Friday off. Let's see what's happening in and around our world on a Friday morning, July 10th. Well, many Christian traditions remembering St. Benedict this weekend. St. Benedict Day, marked by the Roman Catholic Church in Europe on the traditional day of his death, July 11th. And Benedict of Norcia is celebrated by the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Churches, as well as Oriental Orthodox Churches. The patron saint of Europe, founding 12 communities for monks in Italy and developing the rule of St. Benedict for them to follow. St. Benedict, pray for us. A sad story out of the Archdiocese of New York. The details can be found at the EWTN news site of Catholic News Agency, catholicnewsagency.com. The Archdiocese of New York announcing yesterday 20 of its schools won't be reopening following the pandemic, and 3 of its schools will actually be merging. The Archdiocese Superintendent of Schools, Michael Deegan, saying yesterday, the reality of these schools being lost is painful. He says it was only accepted reluctantly after a detailed study was conducted of their respective fiscal standing in the wake of the public health crisis. He explained that he's been a Catholic school educator for more than 40 years and says he could never have imagined the grave impact the pandemic has had on the schools. The Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Dolan, commenting that he has been keeping a hopeful eye on the schools throughout the saga. His prayers are with all of the children and families who will be impacted. He said, given the devastation of the pandemic, he is grateful more schools did not meet the same fate and that Catholic schools nearby are ready to welcome the children. Former Vice President Joe Biden, who identifies himself as a Catholic, pledging this week, as Catholic News Agency explains, to reinstate Obama-era policies that would require the Little Sisters of the Poor to ensure access to birth control and abortifacients for employees in violation of their religious beliefs. Biden, who's also the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, making the promise earlier this week, July 8th, following the high court decision in favor of the Little Sisters of the Poor. In the case Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania, now that case upheld an exemption for the sisters from the contraception mandate, which forces employers to provide coverage for employees through their health care plans, allowing the folks to still have access and paid for access to contraceptives. Vice President Mike Pence is cheering the efforts of police officers across the nation.
It's been our law enforcement officers, along with our heroic healthcare workers, who have stepped into the gap and saved lives in the midst of this pandemic.
Speaking at the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge in Philadelphia, the vice president saying they are what separates order from chaos and allows Americans to live with peace and security. He applauded officers as well as healthcare workers who have stepped into the gap and saved lives amid the coronavirus pandemic. Pence also calling out the radical left for its call to defund police and assure the Trump administration will not do so. He added the nation does not need to choose between supporting communities and supporting law enforcement. Well, at least 150 Minneapolis police officers are suffering from symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. A lawyer representing the officers saying the symptoms aren't all brand new, but they did peak after the riots following the death of George Floyd. But a third of the officers looking for disability were at the 3rd Precinct back in May when it was surrounded by protesters and eventually burned. Baltimore's Mayor Jack Young saying he will not tolerate destruction after protesters took down the Christopher Columbus statue in Little Italy and then dumped it into the harbor last weekend.
And when we find out who destroyed those statues, they will be held accountable.
The mayor is saying the city supports the right to peacefully protest, but he also says the destruction of the statue does not erase history, and we can actually learn from the past in order to make better choices moving forward. Indoor malls can reopen in parts of New York State that are in phase 4 of the reopening process. Rockland County Executive Ed Day saying this is a big deal for the 5,000 employees at the Palisades Center Mall.
It's not about the mall business or the big business people. Our people work here, and most of the people in these stores here in Rockland County reside within Rockland County.
Governor Cuomo is saying malls must, though, have a certain air filter in place that can filter out tiny particles, including the coronavirus, in order to reopen. There are other ventilation protocols required as well. Malls have been closed since mid-March because of the coronavirus. Bob Brown tells us a new poll showing New York City residents are nearly divided on reopening schools in September.
Camaras College poll is showing 53% of city residents thinking reopening schools for in-person instruction this coming fall would be a bad idea. Earlier this week, Mayor de Blasio announcing a so-called blending learning approach, which would have students in classrooms 2 to 3 days a week. Meantime, Governor Cuomo says nothing has been decided yet, saying he expects to make a decision the first week of August on whether or not to reopen city schools. Camaras College officials say the poll has a 4% margin of error, so it seems as though New Yorkers could be nearly evenly split on the schools issue.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is saying he's glad to attend the Republican National Convention next month as coronavirus cases are surging in Jacksonville, Florida.
The RNC chair and others, this is something they're meeting about every day. And I'll be at the convention gladly. And I know we'll do it in a safe manner. We'll take the precautions needed.
Speaking with reporters, a California Republican saying it will probably look a little bit different than it has in the past, but they will be safe. This comes after several Senate Republicans are stating they will not be attending, some breaking from the administration for the first time. Those not attending, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, Tennessee's Senator Lamar Alexander, Mitt Romney from Utah, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, and Maine Senator Susan Collins. A cluster of thunderstorms off the North Carolina coast developing into, as we mentioned earlier, a tropical storm that's threatening New Jersey and New York with winds of up to 50 miles an hour. Tropical Storm Fay is forecast to dump between 2 and 3 inches of rain in some areas of New Jersey. Tropical storm warnings and flash flood watches are already out in a number of places today. Then two of the nation's biggest airlines suspending flights to Hong Kong because of that city's mandatory coronavirus testing rules. Bloomberg reporting United and American are stopping the flights where crew members face fines and possibly prison if they refuse to do the testing. Hong Kong officials say the mandatory testing of crew members began this week. Both airlines say they hope to resume flights to the city very soon. Dean Muccio reports it appears the hearts of Americans were not prepared for the emotional toll brought on by the coronavirus pandemic.
Also known as stress cardiomyopathy, it occurs when a part of the heart becomes enlarged and is unable to pump blood effectively after intense emotional or physical stress. Similar to a heart attack, symptoms include chest pain and shortness of breath.
And finally, our news segment at almost 13 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, July 10th on EWTN. A funeral service for country and gospel music artist Charlie Daniels being held today. That service for Daniels being held at the World Outreach Church in Tennessee at 11 o'clock Central. Travis Tritt, Vince Gill, Gretchen Wilson, and Trace Atkins all expected to perform. Daniels was raised in North Carolina listening to Pentecostal gospel, bluegrass, rhythm and blues, and country music. We'll be right back to chat with Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President of the Network, about all the great upcoming programming on EWTN. It is a Friday, and we're so glad you tuned in. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current health care plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year. And CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back. It is a Friday morning, July 10th. EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Doug Keck is our Chief Operating Officer and President. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Welcome back.
Yeah, it was terrific. It was wonderful. It was great to celebrate the country. You know, it was great to be home with family. A little more low-key, not that it's ever very high-key, but a low-key because of everything going on,
right.
You know. But that's great and relaxing, too, you know. But, of course, in the kind of the industry and the business and the mission we work in, it's kind of 24/7 anyway,
yep.
And you get away a little bit, but not entirely, but it still was terrific. Thanks.
Yeah, how are things down in your part of the country, Doug, with the pandemic and the numbers? How's it doing?
Well, the numbers are up. Definitely they're up. And, you know, I mean, I think I was talking to someone who said we'll probably know a lot better just even in general in the country next week because, you know, we've got the numbers are up and even some of the ICU numbers are up, but the deaths have been dramatically down. So the question is, if the deaths don't start to go up, then that's actually could be seen as somewhat of a positive thing, which is that you've got some level of herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
If suddenly the deaths start terribly spiking, then we probably, you know, have some greater concerns. And that's just me passing along, you know, a conversation I had with somebody who I respect. So, you know, I think the one thing good is has reasserted the idea that folks, for whatever, you know, whatever you believe it or not, wear a mask. It certainly can't hurt. It certainly thinks it has a value of showing people you care, and social distancing and those kinds of things. And young people have to respect it as well, even though they may not have the negative impact of the virus. They can certainly pass it along, though there's arguments about how much they do that. So, you know, as everything is, I guess you have to be prudent and be cautious. But as you mentioned in the story with you know, Timothy Dolan and the Cardinal and the schools, there's, you know, these schools are getting killed. And
yeah.
Not only them, people, you know, even people, let's say the school stays open, but dad lost his job. Was he going to be paying to send the kid back to school? I mean, there's a ripple effect across all of these things. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, in certain jobs, whether in government or they happen to be, East Coast, West Coast kind of executive type or financial things, where they're very comfortable doing their jobs at home, which is terrific. I've been able to do a lot of mine at home as well. But there's other people who are not going to be able to keep their jobs if they can't go to work.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the ripple effect, and I think that's going to continue for a long time, unfortunately. In Michigan, I heard that we have over 1,000 restaurants that close permanently, which you think about the extended impact of just that alone, and that's just one industry we're talking about.
Exactly, and that's where you've got to always say with these things, when you just look at one side of an equation, you're always going to have a problem. No one wants somebody to get sick. Nobody wants to put anybody at risk. Well, we don't want firemen to be at risk either, but we either put them at risk or we let buildings burn down. You know,
mm-hmm.
We put police at risk or else we let crime run rampant, as we've seen quite honestly in some of our major cities when the police clearly have pulled back for whatever reason. You can argue about that as well. But, you know, so in this kind of situation, you have to always be weighing the risks. So, you know, at one level, if there's no impact, of course, everybody should just stay home. That's the safest thing to do. That's the lawyerly approach, which is don't get out of bed. That's the safest thing for you to do. But you need to earn a living, so you have to weigh those, you know, those risks, and that's where we need to be smart. And unfortunately, it's become so politicized, it's become difficult for people to parse what's true and what isn't true, what's hyperbole and what's
right.
Understatement. And again, like you said, in New York, half the people, I'm surprised it's only 53%
yeah.
Based on the reports out of New York and the media bashing 24/7 on this, you would think nobody would want to leave their house at all.
Well, but they don't say that when it comes to protesting. I find that very interesting, but that's a whole other topic.
That's the hypocrisy that, you know, goes, you know, for anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear, you know what the truth is. This idea that somehow if your cause is just, somehow you don't pass the virus, or because these people are outside, they're not passing the virus. Well, they, as packed in as people were on the beaches on a Memorial Day or whatever, they weren't they were less packed in than they are in those violent and even the peaceful, certainly the peaceful protests when everybody's meshed together like in a mosh pit. And to act like that's not the impact. And people have to remember that, you know, Memorial Day was early this year. So when you start looking at the rays, well, the riots and the protests started a week or so after Memorial Day was celebrated in and around that time. And so you're talking about the fact that that's probably a greater indicator of some of it, along with people, I think, just going outside thinking, okay, it's over, when that was never the intention. We were always flattening the curve, not reaching a cure.
Right.
But that kind of got lost.
Yeah, a lot of things got lost in the shuffle of all the craziness with the news and the hype. And I mean, there's always going to be hype. I mean, if it bleeds, it leads is still, you know, a saying in the media. And that's why I'm so grateful for EWTN. Also grateful to have this major outlet of evangelization. Right. We were chatting before we started at the top of the hour about the CNN anchor saying earlier this week that admittedly, Jesus was not perfect. Admittedly.
Well, in some ways, he might relate to the founding fathers. Certainly, Thomas Jefferson would have thought that because he didn't think Jesus was the Son of God, and you know he had that version of the Bible that took all the miracles out of it. So, if you're a deist at heart or some sort of person who has and we know in a lot of the unfortunately the liberal gospel that has happened over the last 150 years, a big part of it is pulling out the miraculous. And pulling out the miracles and that redactionism and that reductionism, and in an attempt to, I think, make Jesus more relatable to the average person in some ways, they want to make it so that, well, of course, he's just like you and me. That becomes the buddy Christ because then he understands
he's
what
a good
I'm
guy,
doing.
Hanging out, being nice to people, you know,
absolutely.
Performing
Listen,
little miracles.
Hanging out with the bad people, not because he's there as a doctor. It's like going to say, well, how come that doctor keeps going to the hospital all the time, hanging out with those sick people? Well, that's what his job is. That's what he came for. That's what he said. Instead, it becomes, well, he likes sick people, and being sick isn't bad because he likes hanging around with them. No, he goes there because he wants to make their life better and bring them back to life, and that's the idea. And I just wanted to mention, because you mentioned St. Benedict, we've got a wonderful docudrama we're going to be airing on the 10th, so people can look for that. That's at 8 p.m. Okay, you look for that. Mm-hmm. We've got a Lord's Week with our Franciscan missionaries all next week. We've got EWTN Live, a wonderful discussion with Colin Donovan and Father Mitch up on Padre Pio, and a wonderful little vignette that was produced by us on one of the miracles of Padre Pio. It'll be really exciting to see. And then we've also got the Lord's United in Prayer Global e-pilgrimage next week as well on the 16th, so people can check out EWTN.com for all the different things we have going along throughout the month of July and into August. We're still here for you.
And things that can keep you sane. And this
absolutely.
Out there.
You need a touchstone to stay in touch with the truth because the world is full of mendacity. You know, I was thinking when you said, you know, the old line, if it bleeds, it
bleeds.
And now it's if it's Trump says it, it'll be the headline. No matter what, you know, he tweets it, Trump tweets leads, so...
I swear, I don't care whatever people think of him, the man could cure cancer and nobody would be happy. I mean, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, exactly, like you just said, and no matter how you come out with his style or what he does, I mean, he's put a couple of guys on the court who certainly have helped things in general. They may not be as good as we'd like to have seen some of the decisions, but certainly the Blaine, you know, amendments decision was terrific. The religious liberty decision of the ministers dealing with people who aren't following the faith, who work directly for the church in some way or in for a school. And also even the thing with the Little Sisters of the Poor. All of those things occurred because, whether people like it or not, because Donald Trump became president. None of that would have happened. It would have been much worse and continued to be worse without him. So we all have to step back where we're getting ourselves annoyed and our knickers in a twist, as they used to say, and start to think rationally and not so emotionally about what kind of country do we want going forward?
Right.
We want it to be kinder, gentler, but let's make sure that we're making the right decisions on the right issues and don't become focused just on style.
Right. And also, there's another very sad story out. I saw it this morning, didn't get a chance to report on it, that a 9/11 memorial was vandalized in New York State.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
that.
Where.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was. I don't think it was the big one in Manhattan. But how sad is that? And to what end? And this is how we want our country to be, tearing down monuments and monuments that recognize Americans who
absolutely.
I don't even know what to say.
Absolutely, many Black lives died in that event. There were many. Whether they were firemen, policemen, the people who were in the building, people who were nearby. So that's the kind of stuff. See, that's when the masks come off. We have everybody putting masks on, but the masks are coming off. And the mask is that this isn't about poor people being abused by the police. Nobody says that doesn't happen. Nobody says there doesn't need to be reform. Reform the police is fine. We could use reform everywhere. But there's a much deeper, darker thing going on here. And it is very anti-Christian. And it is very anti-American.
And anti-family as well.
Absolutely.
Doug, thanks. Keep up the great work. We're so grateful for EWTN. For all the details that Doug mentioned, the upcoming programming, including the special on St. Benedict, and you can find it all at EWTN.com. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Believers who respond to God's word and become members of Christ's body are intimately united to him, the Catholic Catechism tells us. In that body, those who believe are united with Christ through the sacraments in a very real and hidden way. The body's unity does not do away with the diversity of its members who engage in a diversity of functions. The unity of the mystical body triumphs over all human divisions. As St. Paul says, there are no Jews, no Greeks, no slave, no free man. All are one in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body of the Church, the principle of creation and redemption. We are united with Christ in his Passover. All his members must strive to resemble him until Christ is formed in them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Just having a delightful conversation during the break with my dear friends Greg and Julie Alexander. They have another grandbaby. They sent me pictures last night. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. And, Greg, tell us about your new grandbaby.
Oh, man, what can I not say about her? She's beautiful, she's gorgeous, she's soft, she smells good, she looks good, looks just like me.
Oh. No humility there. Teresa, don't ask him.
Oh, but she's so cute.
Oh, my gosh, it's precious. We are so thankful. Oh, God is good all the time. And let me
all the
tell
time.
You what, when you have this happen during these times, as we sent the picture out, I love the response we got back. In these times, what a grace and what a beautiful sign of hope is what people would say. It's like, oh, already, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I heard someone say once, I don't know who said it, but a baby is God's sign that the world will go on and must go on.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's profound. Very profound and just incredible.
Well, congratulations. Keep sending me pictures, and I'll send you pictures of the twins. So we'll just be exchanging pictures all day long. All right, I want to talk to you about your ministry overall. We have come through, we're kind of coming through, but some cases are spiking in a very, very difficult time in our country and our world. And I know that you've been busier than ever with your Marriage Disciple Ministries at thealexanderhouse.org. So, Greg, let's talk just in general of how things have been for you and Julie, what you've been seeing in terms of the couples that are coming to you for help and advice.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to sound like a broken record because I say we're always crazy busy, but we are indeed crazy busy. In fact, Julie and myself last month did 102 sessions with couples that are
wow.
in need of help. And it's just incredible. I think, again, because of this COVID situation, shelter in place, people are having to contend with each other on a daily basis and not used to doing that. So these things have been surfacing. But thanks be to God, they see the need to reach out and look for help, to find some resolve so they can get back to where they need to be. But it's just incredible.
And so, Julie, in terms of what some of the biggest issues are, as Greg said, things that are coming up that maybe were there but they're seeing more of or realizing the situation, are couples coming to you in a desperate situation or just needing some advice in general, would you say?
Typically it's a desperate situation, Teresa, because they come to us as the last line of hope, which is sad because 90% of the couples that come to us will say they've been to their church, they've been to their families, they've been to their friends, and everyone's telling them they can move on and find something better. I kid you not, it just makes me cringe on the inside because our lack and sense of understanding of marriage is forever. It is to be with the husband and the wife till death do us part, not until our feelings are gone and dead, but till we understand the commitment. It is just, Greg and I are devastated on a daily basis to hear most of the couples that call us will tell us that. But one of the things I want to talk about, which we don't bring up a lot, is this spirit of division, the spirit of pride, of selfishness, of accusations, of pointing fingers. The spirit of this world is creeping into these homes and our marriages where we're starting to see people saying things to each other, accusing each other of things, just being on edge is really a time of we need to begin to go into one prayer a lot more, but actually asking God to give us the grace to serve each other because we have gone so far away from that
yeah.
The devastation, Teresa, is unbelievable.
So, Greg, what do you think is causing this spirit of division? That's, I mean, we know who's responsible for it, but what's bringing it about, do you think, more than usual?
I think it really brings to the surface the importance of spiritual warfare. Teresa, just really coming to understand the spiritual battle that is being waged each and every day for our souls. And as Julie was talking, I was thinking about John Paul II, you know, that infamous statement, as the family goes, so goes this nation, mm-hmm. so goes the world in which we live. Well, therefore, from that statement, that it should be the things that are taking place in the home that permeates out in society. But as a result, we're allowing the things from society to permeate into our home. And so we're going to have to spiritually fortify our homes, our domestic church, to stave off those attacks and to really come back together as husband and wife and as a family to really fortify ourselves spiritually to be able to go out and stand against some of the things that are happening that are contrary to our faith and our beliefs, as opposed to assimilating into that and becoming what's out there in the culture.
Mm-hmm. So true. We're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander of thealexanderhouse.org is a website. So Greg, let me have you first comment on this, and then Julie, you can jump in. When you're talking about marriage disciples, what does that mean? What does that look like in your ministry?
Yeah, it's interesting. Marriage disciple. First, I'll share this. The way we came up with that name, Teresa, I was sitting one day at the desk, and the thought, the truth shall set you free, kept coming to mind. And so, of course, I go to Scripture, John 8:32, we find that statement. But in verse 31, we find that it was Christ speaking to the Jews, and he said something to the effect, depending on the translation, if you live my truths or if you keep my truths, then you become my disciples. Then you know truth, and the truth sets you free. So first of all, you know, the world seems to think that freedom is the ability to do whatever it is that I want to do. But authentic freedom is doing the things that God in Christ has prescribed for us to do. And that's how we become disciples. We don't be disciples just by showing up at church, but it's by understanding and living and embracing the truths of Christ that makes us a disciple. And that's how we come to know truth. So our marriage disciples are those who have come to understand Christ and God's truths for marriage. And now we stand in this position to help other couples do the same thing. And it was a result of, you know, after Julie and I bouncing back from the brink of divorce, creating the Alexander House, but literally being taken through this process by the Holy Spirit that not only helped our marriage come back together, but now in the last 21 years, and Julie and I and some of our other marriage disciples helping other couples to achieve the same thing. So it's a great pleasure and honor that God has tapped us on the shoulder to be able to do this great work. And now we have other people wanting to step forward and help in that same capacity. It's pretty humbling.
Julie, do you have quite a few couples that come back to you after going through your workshops that want to be disciples, marriage disciples?
Well, that is precisely, Teresa, what we're doing now. We're asking other couples that we need help. I mean, we have couples waiting in line, but what we do is we find the couples that have been through trials, through struggles, who come to find the truth and seeing these couples be transformed right before our eyes. That's exactly what we're looking for, because couples who come to see us, they even tell us they don't want to be counseled in the point of they don't want therapy. They don't want to be told what isn't right. They want someone who understands where they are, where they've been, had the pain and the wounds and the suffering that they're feeling, and they just want another couple to walk with them through their trials and struggles to say, you understand what I'm going through. You get my pain. I want to know how you came from where we are. I love when Greg says we bounced back from the brink of divorce, where we crawled out of the pit of hell, literally trying to help one another get to this point where we now stand, both of us, at the foot of the cross, where it's not perfect. It's never perfect. But for us to both stand here knowing that our mission and our purpose in this life for one another is to help lead each other back to our Creator in heaven forever. That's a tall order, but it can be done by the grace of God and our participating with God in that. And we're asking other couples definitely to help.
Yeah, and so just the dovetail of her comment.
Okay, well, hold that thought because we have to take a break. I don't want you to get cut off, and I want to put out the phone number because I'm sure there are lots of questions out there. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Greg, but we're going to have to go up against the satellite break. The phone number is 877, and there's our cue. See, there you go, which means I have about 15 seconds, 877-573-7825. If you would like to ask a question or want more information about the beautiful program of the Alexanders at thealexanderhouse.org and Marriage Disciples, give us a call, 877-573-7825, thealexanderhouse.org. We'll also take your questions if maybe you have a question about a marriage situation you're involved in right now. We'll be right back.
Call to Communion.
Through Edmonton Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Want a simple way to add years to your life? Practice optimism. In a study of over 70,000 people, researchers at Boston University found that optimistic people lived up to 15% longer and were 70% more likely to live past 85 than less optimistic people. Optimism is the belief that we can make good things happen, even when things are going badly. Optimism isn't a trait you have or you don't. It's a skill we can all cultivate. As St. Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work for the good of those who love God. Get in the habit of asking God to help you make good things happen, even out of the bad things life throws at you. That simple habit might unlock the secret to a long and abundant life. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Who is Jesus Christ? The question may seem simple, but understanding Christ is essential to living our faith to the fullest. In Captivated by the Master, Father Brian Mullady walks you through the Catholic Church's teaching on Christ, who He is as the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, and so much more. Captivated by the Master, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 39 minutes past the hour. Spending a lot of time with Greg and Julie Alexander. We do this about once a month, the Mornings on Marriage, and I really want to dive in more deeply about their ministry because it's so powerful and there are so many couples that are struggling. And we relate to each other so much because we came back from the brink of divorce. We had actually talked to divorce lawyers. We separated twice, and most of the people know our story as well as yours, Greg and Julie. But so many people, I think it was the roots of our faith and growing up in families where divorce was really just not something that people did. You stuck it out. You worked through it. And I'm not saying that every marriage can be saved. And we know that there are situations that just for whatever reason, especially, God forbid, if there's serious abuse or things like that, that's not what we're talking about this morning. But we're talking about, and you guys see this all the time, that the couples that are having problems that can be solved if they're willing to dig in deeply. And Julie, I'll go to you for a comment.
Yes, absolutely, Teresa, because we always tell couples that God is committed to your marriage. So already you've got the best of the best right there. He created it. But then when the couple themselves, no matter what the situation they've been through, I mean, we have dealt with things that people wouldn't even imagine, the calls that we get. And when we give them the truth of God's beauty and forgiveness and mercy and teach them what his plan and his purpose, I mean, we really, Teresa, we see miracles happen in front of our eyes every single day because these couples are given something that is life-giving, that just changes their whole understanding and puts them on a different course, if you will, that they go, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that any of this was even real or possible or could happen. So when they commit and say, yes, I want to work on my marriage, I mean, it is unbelievable. And how quick God comes. I remember when Greg and I had hit rock bottom, and I remember I didn't have energy. I was out. I was numb. I couldn't even breathe hardly. Mm-hmm. I don't have 10 years. I don't have it in me. But what's so cool is God has it all. And he mm-hmm. poured his grace when Greg called me into the room and started teaching me about what God's plan for marriage was, what our church had to say about marriage, and prayed with me for the first time. My heart opened up as it broke open, exploded. And from that point forward, we just continued to pour into our understanding of God's plan. And Teresa, as you know, miracles can happen.
Oh, yeah. Both our marriages are miracles. 877-573-7825. Greg, when we're talking about marriage and why it matters, you gave a beautiful description of the family being the vital cell of society. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Yeah, again, quite simply, again, taken from John Paul II, Letters to Family, everything passes by way of the family. And I mean literally everything. And so it's what we do in the home in terms of preparing and teaching our children about life, love, relationships, and everything else involved. When they go outside of the home, that's what they start to live. And if we don't teach that to our kids in the home, again, they're going to be swept away in the culture. And they're going to start falling into things that are totally contrary to the truth, the gospel, but also things that's contrary to contributing to their well-being, teenage pregnancy, drugs, suicide, all those different things that are the result that are out there, especially when we fail to do it at home. More importantly, when we break up our marriage in our homes and leave our kids as prey to society. And so we have to understand that a lot of those things that we experience in our society today can literally be traced back to the breakup and the breakdown a marriage and family life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the
mm-hmm.
sooner we begin to figure that out and to understand that, the better off we'll be. But there's many people say, well, but that's not my concern. Well, it is too, because more than 50% of the audience, if you will, that's in the poverty levels in our society, we have to pay for them as taxpayers for their well-being through welfare programs and things of that nature. So it does indeed impact everybody. We just don't seem to think so.
Yeah, and you gave some very interesting statistics and some research that you provided. Divorced adults are generally less happy. Divorced individuals, particularly women, are more vulnerable to depression. They have higher levels of psychological stress, lower levels of general psychological well-being, and poorer self-esteem. Divorced individuals see a doctor more often and are more likely to suffer from serious illnesses. Some of these health problems diminish over time, but individuals who experience a divorce are more likely to die at earlier ages. Divorced adults drink more alcohol than married adults and account for the highest proportion of heavy drinkers. So this is not to slight anyone listening who's gone through the pain of divorce and may be struggling with that right now. So please don't think that's what we're saying. We're just looking at the importance of marriage and the nuclear family and how it's being attacked. And so our prayers go out to those of you who have gone through a divorce, many of whom I know who contact us and probably you on a regular basis, who didn't want it in the first place. Most likely. I hear from a lot of people. So this is not to insult or attack people who are divorced. And I think there needs to be more outreach to divorced people, both men and women, who are struggling and who are in the church, because oftentimes they feel alone. But we need to address the fact that in the world, Julie, as you mentioned, people are giving just divorce as an easy answer, but it's not.
No, it's definitely not an easy answer. And again, we can go back to Malachi in Scripture, Teresa, where it says God hates divorce. And as you said, God doesn't hate anybody, but he hates divorce. Why? Because of the devastation it causes, not only to the individuals. Again, the two become one in everything. So when there's a tearing apart of that oneness, then there's a tragedy, a devastation, a spiritual bleeding that doesn't stop. And then from that, you see that the devastation is caused to the kids, the families, the extended families, the church, the culture, and the world. I mean, you can see from when things have gone to, it was just expected that when you got married, the I do at the altar was supposed to take us through till death do us part. But what we see now and how sad it is that 90% of the couples that come to see us will say, nobody's given us hope. They say we should just move on. They say there's too much pain. There is never too much pain as far as God is concerned. Look what Jesus did on the cross. He died. He gave it all. He suffered horrendous things in order to give life. And if we tap into that grace of the sacrament of matrimony that our church has for us and the teachings that are all there, it is unbelievable. But what we realize is most people are on a starvation diet in terms of when it comes to marriage. We don't study it. We don't know it. We don't pray for it.
Well, they're not taught it. And this, I mean, I think it's changing. I think there are better programs out there now for pre-Cana and for couples for engaged encounters and things like that. But the majority of us, you know, go down the aisle with very little preparation. And then we're just said, okay, you know, have a nice life, have a nice marriage, and expected to figure it out on our own when there's so much material available in the Catholic Church to help us.
Exactly, Teresa. And so when those difficult times present themselves, you know, the prevailing thought is, I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I want. And so they opted to get out of the relationship. And even something as simple as Julie spoke to earlier, the grace in the sacrament, we can hear that, we say that, but do we really understand what that means? I mean, because it is because of God's grace that we have all that we have. You know, my ability to be speaking, for us to be talking right now, it's God's grace at work. Even our ability to take our very next breath is God's grace, because he deems for it to be so. For the moment when God decides for us to cease to exist, he removes his grace and we do cease to exist. And again, the sacrament of marriage has all the grace we need to have happy, holy, wonderful, joy-filled lives and marriages. But again, we don't know what we should be doing to tap into that grace. And we have to be participating with God, or we don't get it. And so that shortcoming in the troubles and trials and difficulties is God's way of kind of firing the shot across the bow, if you will, to let us know that there's something missing. And that something, 99% of the time, is him. And we need to turn back to him, live it in accord to his design, if we want to maximize on the grace, and if we want to experience the joy and happiness that he intended marriage to bring.
So, Julie, and I want to remind folks, we're speaking with Greg and Julie Alexander of the Alexander House, thealexanderhouse.org, Marriage Disciples, and Why Marriage Matters are focusing on this morning. When you are meeting with a couple, and they don't have to come to wherever you're at, they can do this online, they can do it over the phone, but how do you, I mean, there's when you have a couple that has gone through so much pain, how do you first approach it? Do you first find out what's happening, what are the core issues? And how do you work through that? Because there's probably a lot of things you have to go through with these particular couples.
There are, but I'm going to let Greg answer that one.
She's looking at me. I'm always the head. She's the heart, if you can't tell.
I'm like, we just cry with them, Teresa. No, just kidding. No, Greg's better.
No, but we do. We send them out an intake form that kind of assesses.
Get an assessment, I was going to say,
of what's going on. You know, everything from where is God in your marriage? Do you attend mass regularly? Are you contracepting? You know, what is it that you want to accomplish in our time together? So that kind of gives us a blueprint, if you will, of right. where we're going to go with the couples. But every couple we work with gets what we call the foundation, Teresa. They have to know and understand God's plan for marriage. They have to be able to experience true forgiveness and healing in a relationship, communication, understanding what it means to be a servant spouse, and kind of weaving spirituality throughout the whole process. Because those are the things that truly God, through the Holy Spirit, took us through that allowed us to come back. And I've just taken that same information and just been smart enough not to change it and represent it to the couples the way that we receive it, in addition to some exercises that allows them to understand not only intellectually what they need to know and do, but the practical things to actually get their hands dirty. Again, allowing them to live marriage the way that God calls them to and avails them to the grace. And, I mean, we've had everything from minor communication issues to couples with infidelity to include five couples specifically where not only infidelity happened, but children were born from those illicit affairs.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
oh.
The spouse not only took the spouse back, but even adopted the child from that illicit affair.
Wow.
And to be able to see that physical manifestation every day and feed and clothe that child of your husband's or wife's infidelity. That's God's grace.
Wow. Talk about forgiveness, right?
Truly.
It starts with forgiveness because our hearts are hardened. We're filled with all the, the negative, the wounds and all that. So really the first and most important thing is create in me a clean heart, O God,
yeah.
and emptying out that heart as we do in the sacrament of reconciliation. Everything that we've done, Teresa, by the grace of God, again, when Greg started to study and read and understand the sacraments, it's like the Holy Spirit literally led him by the hand to put all of this together, to allow it to be an experiential understanding of our faith, of our sacraments. It's so beautiful. And guess what? It works. And most of the couples, no matter how bad they are, no matter how long it's been, we take them through four sessions. And everything is transformed because we give them tools to use for the rest of their marriage.
So what do you have to do to become a marriage disciple, Greg? If you need, I know that you need help because you are so busy, but what do you need to do to become a marriage disciple?
Well, first of all, your marriage has had to have been to hell and back. Now, I threw that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but all seriousness, because those couples that have walked in the path of those trials and tribulations are in a prime position to be there to minister to the other couple. And so when the other couple is sitting across the desk from you, they know that, man, that you can relate. That what you're giving me is not something you read in the book or not some theory that you study, but because you've actually walked in these shoes. And so you're able to really build that rapport and gain that trust of that couple to then to be able to lead them back to Christ. And it's just such a beautiful experience. And so that's the first thing we look at. They have to be married at least 7 years because you got to kind of have that time and service, so to speak, to be in a position to be able to minister to the couples. And one of the things, more importantly, they have to adhere to the precepts of the church. And this is something we really look at now, because we've had couples in the past that we trained, and we started getting reports back and finding that they were skipping the session on chastity. And I'm like, guys, look, this is one of the most important areas. Why are you not covering this? Well, we feel that we can't impress our own thoughts upon these couples. It's like, it's not your thoughts. It's what the church teaches.
Right.
And 90% of the marriages that we see have a trouble that stems from a sexual nature, whether it's abortion, contraception, sterilization.
Greg, we're out of time. Let me just give the website again, thealexanderhouse.org, Marriage Disciples and Why Marriage Matters. All the information is there, thealexanderhouse.org. Check it out. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is The Heresies, Gnosticism. Christianity has fought against this heresy from the beginning, and its errors still infiltrate our culture today.
order your DVD of The Heresies, Gnosticism at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This is Dr. Stan Williams. Why do Christians believe what they do? Not what, but why? What are the facts, evidences, and reasons for the Christian faith? Nineveh's Crossing has just released a new book titled Basic Christianity, Facts, Evidences, Reasons. It's a religious education course for teens through adults in Christian history, archaeology, and logic. Basic Christianity, available now at AveMariaRadio.net in the bookstore. Look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
55 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning. It's July 10th, 2020. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, check out the great work of Julie and Greg Alexander. If you may be struggling in your marriage or if you know someone who is, they really do amazing work. They've been there, done that, and that's why they're doing what they're doing now, thealexanderhouse.org. And once a month, we talk about, of course, Mornings on Marriage. Next week, we're going to be talking about the anniversary again. It's not until July 25th, but we'll be doing more than one interview on it. But given what we just discussed with Julie and Greg, it's so important to understand the church teaching on life and marriage and why the church teaches what she teaches about contraception. So we're going to take a look at that on Monday, Humana Vitae, the anniversary coming up this month. And we're going to be discussing it with Dr. Mike Manhart, who's a former CEO of the Couple to Couple League, with a new study confirming the association of periodic abstinence and positive effects on marriage. We're also going to be catching up with Patrick Riley from the Cardinal Newman Society about some of the great decisions regarding education that came out of the Supreme Court last week. Have a beautiful weekend. Stay safe. And we'll, good Lord willing, talk to you on a Monday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.